make you whole tonight. The Lord gets gooder and gooder. Oh my. Praise your name, Lord, tonight. Isaiah 58, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. The word of the Lord reads, the prophet says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. The Lord replies, yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. And as a nation, they did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. And wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? The Lord said, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. He said, behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Verse 5, it said, it is such a fast that I have chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord, or to the Lord? Verse 6, and I'm going to pray and we'll be seated. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, wonderful Savior, Prince of Peace, everlasting Father, the Alpha Omega, the great I Am, the beginning and the end, the one that was and is to come. We bless you, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, now that you will anoint me and give me words to say, unction me, Lord. Father, help me to speak as an oracle of God, not of man's commentary, Lord. Completely guide me as I yield myself and surrender my voice, my intellect, my mind, all that I have unto you. Without you, I'm nothing. Bless your people tonight and touch them and speak to their hearts here tonight. God, thank you for your presence. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you as you're seated in the house of the Lord. And can I just add just a moment? Boy, did we have church in this place Sunday night. My Lord and my God. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, choir and praise team and worshipers, because they could have sang their hearts out if we didn't worship and get in. Musicians, too. We didn't get in here, worship with them. And I'm going to tell you, Sister Nicole knocked it out of the park. My Lord. My goodness, and she was singing and marched right down the aisle, and I didn't know where she was going. I know she got mad or what, but the Spirit of the Lord, I mean, she was praying. I mean, I was just blessed. I was over there in the corner just crying my eyes out, and just, I don't know about you, but that was deep. That was wonderful. We're blessed. We're blessed. Aren't you glad you're part of a church that's just welcome the move of the Holy Spirit to have his way? And I told Craig today, I said, now I'm going to preach tonight. They can shout 2 hours they want to. I'm going to preach. No, I don't want to get ahead of the Lord or behind him, amen. And I don't have any problem yielding to what the Lord is doing, amen. And so tonight, on that same token, and I believe that we're scratching the surface of a great breakthrough and revival and awakening here at Island Good. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of something magnificent. I want to be a part of souls being swept into the kingdom of God. I want to have services every time we come, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting night, whenever we come. I want the Spirit of the Lord to move and that we know that we're in the presence of God. Is that all right? Amen. I want to be a part of a New Testament church. Amen. And so I'm going to show you how we can do that. Number one, one of the ways we're going to do that is that we're going to fast and pray. And I'm not going to ask Brother Craig to go there. I've got it right here. I'm going to go over to Mark chapter 2. I'm going to talk a little bit. And we're talking. I've been preaching or teaching or speaking on Wednesday nights on fasting. And I'm trying to get us ready, doing this intentional on purpose. It's purposeful. We're entering into a revival season, I believe. We've got a revival scheduled March the 29th through that next Wednesday with Brother Bobby Williams out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And so we're going to set up our fasting calendar. It'll be available this coming Sunday. And, of course, you can fast anytime you want to. You don't have to go by the calendar. But we're going to do that. We're going to have the church is going to be open during this 21 days, during the day for times of prayer. There'll be no organizational prayer. It'll be just come in. Be reverent to, if other people are here, pray, and then slip on out the door. And it's just going to be open. We want to get ready and prepare. And if you put this effort in, and humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, the God of heaven will hear and answer prayers. Amen. And I'm going to show you tonight through Isaiah 58. Hopefully, I'll be able to get through all of it. Our worship time was beautiful. It went a little longer than we normally do on Wednesday night. That's okay too. Y'all worship till 10 o'clock. Don't make me no different, because I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. I don't have no problem worshiping the Lord. I love it. It's beautiful because I read the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "I'm seeking those that'll worship me in spirit and in truth," and I'm ready to worship. So I'm gonna let's take off on the fasting right now. So Mark chapter 2, Mark 2, 19 and 20. Let me go there. And some people say, well, fasting is not commanded in the Bible, or fasting is not commanded in the New Testament. But I look at the words of the Lord here, and Jesus said in verse 19, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast." Jesus speaking of himself. "But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them." We know he's crucified. He's rose from the grave. He ascends to the right hand of the Father. And he said, "And then shall they fast in those days." So that lets us know that the church should be fasting in the New Testament era, in which we're obviously in the age that we live in. So now I want to go to Matthew 17, and then we'll go back to Isaiah chapter 58. But I want to show you something here. Everybody knows this story, and I'm not going to, because I'm actually preaching on this Sunday night out of this particular passage of Scripture, but I was going to preach it this past Sunday night, but the Spirit of the Lord took over. But I know the Lord wants me to preach this. But here in verse 21 of Matthew 17, if you want to read Matthew 17 this week, that'd be a great idea, and you can be ready to go with me when we jump on that Sunday night. But Jesus answered and said, I don't want to get into my scriptures for Sunday night. Let's just go verse 21. "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." How many of you know, and I got good news for you. If you're in a slump right now, you get along with God, push that plate away for about 3 days, and you'll get a breakthrough. I didn't get no amens, but it's true. If you're not touching God, you say, "Lord, I'm going to fast and I'm going to pray," and I promise you something, God will honor that and God will touch you. You get to about that third day, and I'm going to tell you something, there'll be some heavy bands broken off of you. There'll be some that spirit of anguish will lift off you. Victory will come into your soul, because I'm telling you, fasting and prayer, it works. Jesus here said, and he's dealing with a young boy, and I don't want to spend so much time here. Jesus is dealing with a young boy who is demonically oppressed and possessed. His father can't do anything with him, and he takes him to Jesus, and the story goes that the disciples couldn't cast the devil out, and so Jesus says this. They ask him later on, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" He said, "This kind cometh out, but by fasting and prayer." So there are certain, I don't mean everything's got to be demon-possessed for you to have to fast and pray. But there are certain things that come upon our lives There are certain things that come into our lives and come upon us spiritually that only fasting and prayer was going to give us a breakthrough. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care where you are with God, what your situation is. I don't care how low you are, what you're bound up with. If you'll fast and pray, God will give you the victory. Somebody say amen. Because that is biblically sound doctrine that the Lord God himself will honor. He says, when I'm gone, you will fast, and there are things that you're going to run into. See, sometimes churches, when they go through really a bad time, they forget these words, because all it takes is a few people that are fast and pray and grab a hold of the horns of the altar, amen, and saying, God, now we're going to get serious about this. Many people will say, well, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. Well, my Bible tells me that if we'll fast and pray, amen, that we can run the devil out of whatever situation that he's causing, amen. So we want to go back now to Isaiah chapter 58, and there's a right way to fast and a wrong way to fast, and the Lord's dealing with this here. And in this particular passage of Scripture, let me get my, so I don't get distracted here. I want to start with verse 1 in 58. He said, cry aloud and spare not. Hear the man of God. Let me tell you something. We're living in a day and age where churches don't want to hear the true word of God. Amen. We're living in a day and an age, and I talk about this a lot, that they don't want to hear. If a man like John the Baptist, if a man like Jeremiah, if a prophet or a preacher like the Apostle Paul was to be on in today's time and preaching in pulpits and different places, people wouldn't want to hear that. You think they would, because it would be John the Baptist or the Apostle Paul. But John the Baptist preached holiness and they cut his head off. I want you to think about that. You know, Jeremiah cried. He was called the weeping prophet, and he prophesied and he preached and he wailed and he languished and he anguished over a backslidden nation, a nation that did not want to hear truth. And here Isaiah saying, cry aloud and spare not, to lift up. He's telling the prophet, lift your voice like a trumpet. Declare unto the people of Israel, the children of Jacob, their sins. Don't back up. Let me tell you something. The children of Israel, like the church, a lot of the church world today, is going through the motions. And that's what they're doing here. They're going through the motions. And God's not in everything every church is doing. He's not in everything. He's not in. Matter of fact, if it's a mess, he's not going to be in that mess anyway. We often hear, and I've told you, shared some of the horror stories. There are churches now, Pentecostal churches, where the deacons drink alcohol and don't see anything wrong with it. Come on here now. And come to the church, come to the house of God, do the business of the house of God, and come in and worship and pray. And this is exactly what is going on here. And let me show you. Verse 2, he said, yet you seek me daily. Delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. Verse 2, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Then they say, where have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. They're fasting, but they're only going through the motion. They're going about doing what they want to do. That's what he's saying here. Behold, you fast for strife, debate. You smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day. God here is declaring, he is chastising them, he is correcting them about the way that they're fasting. He said, you to make your voice to be heard on high. And then he asked the question, is it such a fast that I have chosen you for a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? And wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? He said, is not this the fast that I've chosen? See, God has a way. God has divine perfect order in all that he does. God is a God of order. And so God is saying to us, if you're going to fast, you're going to humble yourself. God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's what the Bible said. So what these people were going through the motions, that basically they are religious hypocrites who are doing this for an outwardly show, but God is saying, this is not the fast that I have chosen. Let me tell you something. When you get ready to fast, when you get ready to seek God, it's time for business. Amen. It's not time for playing around. It's time for afflicting yourself. When you fast, that doesn't mean you watch every show on Netflix. It doesn't mean you spend hours and hours watching television, your favorite shows, and doing everything that you want to do. You know, I have fasted, and I'm not going in. I was so impressed and blessed at all the people that fasted here when we asked you to raise your hand for different things, and I was blown away that so many people had fasted at various lengths. When you do that, you afflict your soul. You don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes and put ashes on your head, but it's a symbol that you afflict your soul. You get down low and you say, God, I'm nothing, and I've got to hear from you. I've got to touch you. I'm going to quit eating. I'm going to push the plate away. I'm going to fast because I want an acceptable fast that will bring glory and honor to you. And I can show you here in just a few minutes what will take place when the church and the people of God really fast the way that God intends for us to fast. Now, I have fasted different things. I went through, I'll tell you, I don't, let me see how far I'm going to go with this. After I was on prolonged fast from food, I said, I'm going to give God a year. I'm going to give up things for a year and to afflict my soul. And one of the things that I did was I gave God a year and I said, I'm not going to fish for a year. Kim said I thought I was crazy. But I said, God, I'm not going to fish for a year. And was it hard to begin with? Yes, it was, because it's something I enjoyed. But I didn't, there's nothing wrong with fishing. But I gave it up because I wanted to afflict my soul. I wanted to do something, to give up something for God that I love to do, I enjoy doing. So I gave it completely up for a solid year. And once I got through a few weeks or whatever, I really didn't, it was fine. Now, the next thing I did, I said I gave up watching any sports on television. And I really don't watch a lot of television other than Andy Griffin and some fishing videos. I don't watch a lot of television anyway. But I've always enjoyed sports. But I said, Lord, I'm not going to watch a single sporting contest on television or go to a ball game, you know, like that. For a solid year, I gave that up because it's something that I enjoy doing. And some of you that love sports like I do and watch sports, it's always fun to go and sit in front of the television and just immerse yourself in a sporting contest. Some of you don't care nothing about it. I understand. Some of you love it, and I understand that. But for that, but you know what? This, you're gonna think I'm crazy. It was harder to quit watching sports than it was to fish. I was surprised. I thought, but during that year, you know what God done something in me? As good as I enjoy sports, I begin to see the foolishness. And I still watch sports. I still do. I watch football, basketball, a little baseball. I enjoy sports. Just follow me. But during that year of afflicting my soul and giving it up for God, God showed me how utter foolishness sports really are. I begin to see the rabid fan whose life is intertwined and tied up with a team that cares nothing about you or who you are. It has no concern about your life. Roy Williams, the coach of Carolina, I know I'm not a Carolina fan. I don't care if they win or lose. Roy Smith was accosted by a fan. Carolina was going through a rough stretch. And one of the Carolina fans saw him at a restaurant, and they said, you boys got to get together. We got to start winning. He looked at him and said, you ain't got nothing to do with this. This is our life. You've got nothing to do with that. I thought that was rude and uncalled for, but it was a truth. Because when through that year, and I know I'm tracking off here a little bit, but just bear with me. But through that year, God showed me the utter ridiculousness, if that's a word, of how foolish it was to be so wrapped up in sports that has absolutely no spiritual reward. Come on. So it's nothing. So I can look at sports, but hey, I look at it different now. If I'm an NC State fan, NC State would win the national title, I would be happy, but it doesn't change my life a bit. Does that make any sense to anybody? Now, if I got on your little red wagon, now I'll get on another one. Some people are so wrapped up in things of the world, if they would just simply afflict their souls and step back from the things that they're involved in. I just used two of my things that I was involved in, something that you're involved in, something that consumes your time, your effort, and energy. Step back from it. Give it to God. I'm not saying these things to make you mad. I'm telling you that we're living in the last of the last days. And if we're going to get a hold of God and we want to see our children saved and we want to see people get set free, we are going to have to fast and pray. We're going to have to. Let me hurry here because we're going to run out of time here tonight. Let me go. He said in verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen to lose the bands of wickedness? Man, everywhere I look, brothers and sisters, I see people bound up by drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction, lust, and all kinds of unspeakable wickedness in society. And the church, remember when I preached on the keys of the kingdom? The church is given the key to loose the bands of wickedness. And it's not going to come through singing a song. It's not going to come, amen, and singing a song is wonderful. It's not going to come from just preaching. It's not going to come from just teaching and worship. It's going to come when the people of God will fast and they'll pray, and that will loose. This is right here. This is what God said. This will loose the bands of wickedness to undo heavy burdens. Are you burdened tonight? Or is something weighing you down? Is something had a grip on you, strangling you for a long time? I've been pastoring and preaching now going on 28 years. I have dealt with people and seen people who are burdened, who are bound, amen, year after year, never set free. But I got good news for you. If you'll fast and you'll pray, the God of heaven will sit down in your situation and show up, amen, and loose you, amen, and set you free. Would somebody say amen? He said undo the burden, to loose the band of wickedness, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. To break every, we don't have to be bound, church. We don't have to be under bondage as Christian if we'll fast and pray. And if you can't fast, get somebody to help you and say, listen, I'm struggling and I'm bound up. Would you agree with me in prayer? And would you help me fast, or would you fast for me? And we can believe God and see God do great and mighty things. When people fast and pray, it shakes the devil's kingdom, amen. You hear me tonight? When the devil sees God's people begin to fast and pray, he begins to get nervous. One of my favorite preachers is Leonard Ravenhill, gone on to be with the Lord, a great man of God. He says, they asked him, how do you want to be known? He said, I want to be known in hell. I thought, what a bold statement to be made known. I've heard a preacher preach, not Brother Ravenhill, but another preacher. He was, and I guess he was being facetious, but in a way serious. He said, when I wake up, he said, I want the devil to say, oh no, he's up. And that's funny in a sense, but there's some spiritual truth to that, amen. Because the devil don't fear the backslidden, the lazy, the slothful Christian, the one this world has got his hand in the world and wants to have his hand in Jesus's, in the church, and one foot in the church and one foot in the world. That don't worry the devil, because he ain't worried about that person. But the one he is, amen, that'll push that plate back and say, Lord, I want to fast. I want to step away, because this is what you said. You said, I can see results out of this. I can see the oppressed go free. I can see the bands of wickedness break. Amen. I can see the blinded eyes open, the spiritual blinded eyes open. Let me tell you something. I think Brother Milton and I were talking about this the other night. One of the saddest things to see is a person so blind they can't see the truth. That's called spiritual blindness. And I'm telling you, we can pray, we can preach, we can sing, we can teach, we can do all these things, but some things only come by prayer and fasting. I've been there. I've been spiritually blind. I've had people witness to me when I was had left the church as a young man. And I've been there. I understand. Looking back, and I look back and I talked to a young man that's been coming, him and his family have been coming some on Sunday mornings, and they sit about right there behind Sister Sylvia. I remember he when he was a Christian, and well, he's a Christian now, but when I was out in the world and he witnessed to me. And all I can think about, man, Herb, get away from me. I ain't interested in what you got to say. That's blindness. You say, well, brother, you knew better. Well, I grew up in the church. I've been in this thing all my life except 10 or 12 year period there when I run for the devil. But I knew better, but yet there was a blindness. The scales were on my eyes, and even though somebody could talk to me about the Lord, my heart was cold, my eyes were blind. If I'd have died, I'd have went to hell. That's blind, y'all. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's bands of wickedness. That's oppression. That's burdens, amen, that so many people are out there. And the world, I'm not going to be much longer. The world is not going to fast and pray. If anybody is going to see these things come to pass, it's going to be the church if we'll fast and pray. Amen? Say amen. All right, is it not to deal? And here's, I'm going to, let me see. I love verse 6. The oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Wow. I don't know if I'm going to go much further because the rest of it talks about, and there's some beautiful, I may finish this up next week. How many of you want to see the oppressed go free? How many of you want to see the bands of wickedness broke asunder? How many of you want to see every yoke be destroyed? I do, church. I want to see. There's a special evil that has gripped our nation. And I know I comment for oftentimes and from the pulpit, and I've even joked, and I guess it's really not a joke, that liberalism is a mental disorder. It's really not. It's a spiritual blindness. The way these people think, the way these people act, there's a homosexual running for president. His name is Pete Buttigieg. He finished first or second in Iowa and second or third in New Hampshire. He's a serious candidate for president. I don't think he'll get the nomination, but what I think really don't matter. But the fact of the matter is people are embracing this man on a national level. This man is a homosexual. The Bible says that he's an abomination before God. Come on now. There is a deep, wicked band of wickedness that has, like a dark cloud, that has come down and fell on America. Amen. To think, now think about it. What if the possibility that this man would get the Democratic nomination and somehow, some way, would win the presidential election in 2020? That is scary, Brother Lord. That scares me. And what does, so I can't look to the world to help us out. I can't look to the White House. They're going to do all they can do to get Trump reelected. Now, I'm going to vote for him, and I support him. I don't mind saying it from here, and maybe I shouldn't. They say you shouldn't do that, but that's just what I'm going to do. And I believe that God put him there and God using him. I believe that. But what is wrong with a country that this has happened on our watch? You younger people, you much younger people, 20-somethings and early 30-something, we ought to apologize to y'all because this is happening. Now, one man said, my greatest ministry is not now, it's the future. And I look at these young people and these young people in the back. That's part of our ministry, too. After we're gone, come on here. I'm going to close. Hang with me just a minute. What kind of church are we going to leave them? What kind of nation are we going to leave them? God's talking to a nation here. He's talking to people individually. Yes, I understand that. But he's speaking to the nation of Israel and prophetically speaking to us. If we want to see the yokes broken, the bands, people set free, the burdens lifted, all of these things, the oppressed go free, the church must return to prayer and fasting. Because God said, this is what I'll do. God said, and I don't have time to go. This is a wonderful, I want you to read this week. Read chapter 58 all the way through the end. And then at the very end, he talks about the Sabbath. And if we have time, we'll go into that next week. And I want to close with this. And Sister Ellen, if you can come on back. There's a special kind of wickedness that's descending on America. What do you think the judgment of God will be if we elect a homosexual as president? That we'd have to face that every day and see that on the news. I think he's married. He's really not, because two men can't get married. But that was. Can you imagine the scenarios? Can you imagine the stench in the nostrils of God? Can you imagine other countries who, there are still other countries, even the Muslims countries have enough sense that don't allow that. Come on. Homosexuality is punishable by death in some Muslim countries. I'm not advocating that. I'm getting ready to go in, and I'm not going to tell you when I do it because that's between me and the Lord, but God can change your perspective on things when you fast. You see things differently. The darkness turns into light. Pain, God can heal. Bitterness, God can do away with. It'll change your life. It will change your life. But lazy Christians won't fast. Will you stand? I'm not being critical. If you've got medical conditions and you can't fast, I'm not talking to you. But lazy Christians don't fast. Slowful Christians don't fast. Carnal Christians who are so caught up with what's going on in this world won't fast. You say, Brother Baben, I can't go a week. I can't go 3 days. Go one meal. Start. Just like sanctification, Brother Lord, I preached on Sunday. You don't hear a lot of preaching on sanctification anymore. And you don't hear much preaching on fasting. One man said, fasting doesn't move God. Fasting moves you to God. I like that. I believe it moves God too, but I like the quote. I want you to bow your heads. I'm just going to challenge you and charge you.